Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. And they are ministering spirits. They are put in place to ensure that to keep the system running. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And then he now eventually created thrones and dominions. And who were supposed to occupy the thrones and the dominions? They were supposed to be man. Man was supposed to be the one that will occupy thrones and dominions. We know that principality and powers are occupied by angelic beings. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the principality and powers in heavenly places. The devil is a prince. Are we together? But there was a particular angel. Now, what was God doing in all of this? Because I hope you know that God knows the end from the beginning. And so, therefore, God knew that angels were going to fall. And God knew that man was going to fall. Amen? This teaching is becoming deep. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. He knew angels were going to fall. And he knew that man. He also knew that man. Femi, I want you to come and help me. This thing is not recording. He also knew that man was going to fall. And what did he do? Try and check this cable. Something is probably wrong with this cable. He knew that man was going to fall. And so, why did he not stop them from falling? Because whether they fell or they did not fall was going to demonstrate whether they loved God. The angels that decided to follow Lucifer and rebel against God. It's okay. I'll sit down. Don't be distracted. It's not working. The cable is bad. The angels that refused to follow Lucifer and rebel against God demonstrated that they love God. Because what was God doing ultimately? He was creating a perfect, if you read the book of Revelation chapter 20, 21, 22, you will see that God was ultimately creating a perfect universe in which righteousness exists. And everybody that will be qualified to enter into that universe will be people that love God. Whether they are principalities and powers or whether they are thrones and dominion. Remember, the word principality and power is not a dirty word. It's just that the fall happened, the rebellion happened among principalities and powers, those angels that fell, a third of them. So today we say our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, what was that rebellion? Somebody did not want to stay in the place that they put him. Because the devil wanted to exalt himself to be beyond just a principality. He wanted to give himself a throne. And he wanted to exalt his throne. Are you understanding my point? And because he realized that there was a vacancy. Because remember that God created the principalities and powers before he created the people that we occupied the thrones and dominions. Remember, if you read Revelation chapter 20, when the Lord Jesus returns, he says, "And I saw thrones, and seated upon them were those that were given the authority to judge." Who are the people he was referring to here? He was talking about man. When God created Adam, what did God tell Adam? He said, "Have dominion." Amen. He said what? Have dominion. Listen, if you read the book of Job, you realize that when God was creating the heavens and the earth, the sons of God, which is actually just referring to the angels, were on the earth. But he didn't give them dominion over the earth. It was not until he created Adam that he said, have dominion. But you see, before that fell, because what happened, if you read the book of Ezekiel, you will discover that there was a pre-Adamic Eden. The pre-Adamic Eden was, if the Bible says, was speaking about Lucifer, how he was in the Garden of Eden. Because the Garden of Eden is actually a spirit. Okay, I'm not going to talk about the Garden of Eden right now because it will distract us. I'm just trying to explain what God had in mind in saving man. and so that you will not exchange your certificate for 50,000 naira. Because that's what the devil has been doing for a very long time. Because when people have short understanding and they cannot see what they are, he will shortchange you. He will give you 50,000 naira in exchange for your certificate. And then you see people saying things like, whose certificate? EP. May God deliver us from ignorance in Jesus' name. He said, have dominion. So what God is doing, whether you know it or not, we will have that. We have that native knowledge. Man is eternal. In the next 1 million years, you will still be alive. And I will still be alive. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Because in the next 1 million years, you will be alive. And I will be alive. This body would have been gone. But man is an eternal being. And when I say man is an eternal being, I mean that man, in the next 1 billion years, you will still be alive. And by that time, some of God's sons, those that love God. Because what God is ultimately, this earth process is a screening process. How many of you have ever seen a screen, like a sieve? When you are sieving, what you are doing, you are trying to pass through, you are screening the nonsense, the chaff, from the real substance. This earth experience is a screening process to screen out the people that don't love God. Because God's universe was created for them that love Him. And so God gave you a free will. God does not infringe on your will. You are the one that will take your will and decide that you will love God. That's why it now says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has proposed for them that love Him. He says, but the Spirit reveals these things to us. The reason why I can be having this conversation with us is because the Spirit reveals these things. So, a third of the angels fell. Those ones demonstrated that they didn't love God. The ones that didn't fell, they demonstrated that they love God. You know what will happen? When the universe has been purged of every iniquity, the devil has been thrown out of God's functional universe, those angels that did not fall will be the ones that will be in that new universe. The same thing is going to be with man. The men that will fall, the men that will demonstrate, because the most important thing that God is doing, are we together in you, is He's bringing you to the point where you love God. Are you understanding my point? What is the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Because when God has been able to demonstrate that you love Him, He's also demonstrating that you are part of those that will be part of His eternal kingdom. That's why you begin to hear the phrase in the New Testament, inherit the kingdom of God. Inherit the kingdom of God. We have been called to literally inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because we are heirs of God. We are sons of God. You know, children are the ones that inherit the things of their fathers. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. So what did God have in mind in saving you? A kingdom. And you see, when you begin to interact with that kingdom, even now, the power of that kingdom will begin to manifest in your life, even now. Because the kingdom that is ruling over this world is a kingdom of a prince, a principality. It's not the kingdom of a king. So if you have access to the throne of the king, you will have more power than the power of the principalities and powers that are ruling over the earth. That's the reason why, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. That's the reason why you have authority over demons. If you dwell in Christ, the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Do you know that you have the ability to resist the devil and he will flee from you? The reason is because you submit to God. Submitting to God plucks you into the power and the authority of the kingdom. And that power and authority of the kingdom is superior to whatever it is that the devil is using to colonize the earth. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So what did God have in mind in saving us? Now that you are saved, now that you are born again, He has put you in the church. Because what is the church? The church is a place whereby you are being built into capacity. The church is a place whereby you learn to love the Lord thy God. Amen? You know, remember I said that what God is doing is that ultimately, when all is said and done, it's the people that love God that will pass through that screening process. And that's why we have a free will. Because you cannot love without a free will. One of the reasons why God gave us free will is because God wanted us to love Him. And if we didn't have a free will, it will not be love. If you didn't have a choice to say no, are you understanding my point? If you don't have a choice to say you will not love God, loving him will not be real love. And it will not even be appreciated. So God gave us the choice and the ability to say we won't love him. Then he now gave us the option to choose to love him. And it is those people that have chosen to love God. Amen? Amen. They are the ones that will inherit his kingdom. So he says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has proposed for those who love him. Trust me. I keep saying this. See, your mind is too small to understand the glory that God has packaged for you. And that glory is not just a glory that is utopian. It's a glory that when you have entered into the economy of God's love and mercy, you begin to see the first fruits even now. May God give us understanding in Jesus. You see, some of you are looking as if you are confused. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. It's like you had a question you wanted to ask. Okay. All right. So the next point I want us to look at is the church. What is the church? Why the church? Because, I mean, you know, many people think that salvation is you give your life to Jesus Christ and then you escape hell. Right? You give your life to Jesus and you escape hell. That's not the message of the kingdom. You give your life to Jesus, you escape hell. But beyond escaping hell, there is something that God is doing to you. He's building you up into a person. How many of you have seen warriors, kings? You know, in those days, people who end up being kings are usually great warriors. David is an example. You know, David ended up becoming the king of Israel. The anointing of God upon David, first of all, made him to be an exceptional warrior. Amen? Now, do you realize that David's training was not in the palace? Where was his training? It was in the cave. It was in the wilderness. But his training brought him to the palace. Some of you may be wondering that it's not fair for God to elevate man over the angels. Let me explain something to you. There is a song that the angels cannot sing. It's a song of the redeemed. You know, on that day, some of us are going to be able to tell the Lord Jesus Christ that thank you for the opportunity to suffer with you. It's called the fellowship of his suffering. Can you imagine if you become the, look at you now, let's say in the next 20 years, you become the president of Nigeria. Become the president of Nigeria. You know that it is your friends that suffer together with you, that will be closest to you then. You know, when you become the president of Nigeria, everybody will want to be your friend. But if you have sense, the people that will be closest to you will not be the fair weather friends that showed up when you became president. It will be the people that suffered with you. And sometimes, in order for you to know your friends, you will go to a place where people will not know. Even if you are great, you want to know people that truly love you, you will strip yourself of all of that greatness. And when you are in a place where people don't know that you are great, the people that truly love you are the ones that are truly your friends. Now, when you now begin to manifest your greatness, you already know your friends. You see, during the eternal kingdom, there is something that we'll be able to say. We'll be able to say that we shared in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, it's like saying, Lord Jesus, remember when we were suffering together? Because now that you are on this, amen. It's called the fellowship of his what? Of his suffering. I don't think angels can say that. So this earth is a training ground. You remember I was talking about how people train for the palace. This earth is a training ground. A time is going to come when the glory will be revealed. You see, some of us are praying that it will happen sooner rather than later. That's the church that has vision. The church that is blind or that is nearsighted is the church that say, wait, Lord Jesus, wait, let me marry. Wait, let me have children. Wait, let me enjoy small. Because they do not realize that the enjoyment that you will receive when the Lord returns cannot be compared to any enjoyment that you can have now in this broken body of flesh and blood. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It cannot be compared. It cannot be compared. It's like comparing a house fly and a bed. Amen? Amen. So the spirit and the bride says, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Because when you begin to see that it is the second coming of Jesus that will reveal your glory, that will launch you into that throne that God has been preparing you for, you will want him to come tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
You want him to come tomorrow. If it's possible for him to come today, you want him to come today. Are we together?
Yes.
So, what did God have in mind in saving us? It was an eternal kingdom. Alright, I will give time for questions. Now, if you have a question, you can note it down. Because before we end this session, we are going to take questions briefly. So, what God had in mind in saving you is for you to go and reclaim the kingdom that Adam lost. God created Adam, but to inherit that kingdom. But God knew Adam was going to fall. And then God created a system in which there will be redemption and people will be able to demonstrate their love for God. Tell your neighbor, please demonstrate your love for God. Let me tell you one thing about love. Love has a way of manifesting itself. Any love that is only in your mind, eh? You say you love somebody, the person is in need. I love, well, you can't help. You can't inconvenience yourself to help the person. That love is not love. Love has a way of manifesting itself. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May we all inherit in this everlasting life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So what is the church? The church is the training ground. The church is the building place. It's Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It says the bride has made herself ready. It's talking about the church. By the time Jesus was coming, he said the bride had made herself ready. She had made herself. She was wearing fine linen. He says this fine linen is the righteous works or the righteous deeds of the saints. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus Christ is preparing for himself a church without spot and wrinkle or any such thing. He was saying, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He says that and purify her by the sanctifying of the word. He washes the church practically the way that by which you are being purified. Are you understanding my point? The resurrection will not change your character. Oh. Did you hear what I said? The resurrection will not change your character. That you will experience the resurrection does not mean that if you were lying, eh? It will not change your character. you know that there's a resurrection that will happen that everybody will resurrect for judgment before the great white throne judgment. Did it change the character of those people? The resurrection will only amplify that which is good in you. But there must be that good in you. Are we together? But what God is doing before the resurrection is that he's ridding us of every spiritual defilement. What did I say? He's ridding us of what? Every spiritual defilement. And that is where the job of the church is, a training ground. You know, it's when you are in the church and you are dealing with your brethren that you realize that there's envy in your heart. You realize there's envy in you. And what do? The Bible says that if we walk in the light, as in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What does fellowship do? Fellowship reveals our imperfection. It says, and when your imperfection is revealed, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He says, if we walk in the light, as is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Because when you are beginning to deal with people, you begin to see and discern the imperfections in your life. And what does that do for you? It helps you to realize that, Lord, to acknowledge, to confess it to the Lord so that you can be clean. Because any sin that is not acknowledged before God, God cannot clean you of a sin that you deny is there. David thought he was a very good man until that thing with Bathsheba happened. And then he realized that there was unrighteousness in him. There was impurity in him. And he repented of it. he repented of it. Oh, he repented of it. Remember Bathsheba? He was on the balcony. People were fighting war. He was on the balcony. And then he saw Bathsheba bathing. You see, that iniquity has been in him for a long time. He just did not know. Look at the way he was marrying wives up and down. Amen? It was in him. But God revealed it to him. By the time they brought that Shunammite woman to David, when he was an old man, the Bible says he did not touch her. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You see, there is something about, can I just touch on this briefly? If you're a man that is a man of many women, it is demonstrating a level of unfaithfulness in your heart. And that unfaithfulness will also manifest in your relationship with God. You cannot be faithful to one woman, you will not be faithful to Jesus. You will not be faithful to one God. Because in the world, they have many gods. They have the God that makes people rich. They have the God that makes people have power. So that if you shoot them, it will enter. That's what paganism is about. They have different kinds of gods. Are you understanding my point? That's the world, paganism. Different. Aje is the name of a God. There are more than 10 gods I know in Yoruba land. Idols. They are gods. Small letter G. Paganism is a system that allows you to have many gods. But when you are a believer in the Lord God, one God, everything you need, you will get it from one God. It's just like everything you are looking for in all of those 15 women. If you are a monogamous man, you get it in your one wife. And the truth is that it is wiser to get it from one woman than to get it from 15. Because those 15 women will come with their 15 troubles. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So if you find a man that cannot be faithful to one woman, he's in effect demonstrating that he will also not be faithful. He does not yet have the ability to be faithful to one God. Remember that marriage is a representation of the relationship between Christ and the church. Amen. You see, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And that's one of the reasons why God hates divorce. Anyway, because especially for believers, because when you find believers that are divorcing, they are speaking volumes in the realm of the spirit that is contradictory to the spiritual reality to which they belong. Amen. Now, how did we get here? The job of the church is to build us up. So Jesus said, I will build my church. What is the church? We are the church. The church is not the building. You see, and until the church is built, until you are built and you are ready, you cannot inherit. He says, until we all come to the knowledge of the Son. Someone should open to Ephesians chapter 4 and read verse 11. I don't have a pulpit. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. I think it's not verse 11, but just start from verse 11.
Ephesians 4 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibilities to equip God's people to build the world and build up the church.
And build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come. What will continue? The work of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It will continue until we all come to what?
Such
unity in our faith.
And
knowledge of God's Son. That we will be mature in the Lord. Thank you so much. This will continue. A generation of the church is going to emerge, and is already, you know, the church is a continuous work. Amen?
Amen.
The fact that people are dying in the church and generation on generation is coming and going, we are building on the work of the last generation. There are some things that we have now. There are some things that we understand now that Christians 100 years ago did not understand. You know why? because we are a generation after them. A time is going to come where, and I pray it will happen in our time, where the church will come to a proper full understanding of the counsel of God. And until that day comes, and that will be the church that will herald the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because that will be the church that will preach this gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
That will be a mature church. Because of that's not our scope. I'm not going to say much more than that. Maybe when we are doing eschatology, I will go and explain to you how that the church that will herald the coming of Jesus. Because this, let me tell you the truth. We may be the church that will herald the coming of Jesus, but that has not started. Because the Jesus will not come until the Antichrist comes. Are you getting my point? You know, when I say such thing, I have to read the Bible so that you don't take my word for it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, if you have, Bro Yemi, read it from your translation. From verse 1.
Now, dear brothers and sisters.
Now, dear brothers and sisters.
Let us clarify some things about the coming of Jesus Christ.
Let us clarify some things about the coming. Come and take this microphone.
Now, dear brothers and sisters. Let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Verse 3. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He says he will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. The man of lawlessness. The Antichrist.
Do you realize that the coming of the Lord will not come until the man of lawlessness is revealed?
There will be a church that will withstand that man. It is that church that will herald the coming of the Lord. Because in spite of what that man is doing, that church will still be standing. Amen? And one thing I can assure you is that there will be no baby Christian in that church. I mean, it goes without saying, right? There will be no baby Christian in that church. He said, that day will not come. He said, concerning the coming of the Lord and our being gathered to be with him. That's talking about the rapture. He said, that day will not come until what? The man of lawlessness is revealed. So, when you are praying that Jesus should come, be preparing your mind for the coming of the Antichrist. Because Jesus warned us about it. In fact, he even said in one place, in the world, you will have tribulation. That's why if you are living and already preparing your mind for the kind of wickedness and mayhem and terror that the Antichrist will unleash on the church, it will be difficult for Boko Haram to scare you as a Christian. There are many people that cannot inconvenience themselves because they don't know what Christianity is. If you are living in the light of this truth, there are many things that will not scare you. That's why the early church could survive. Who was Nero that was persecuting them? They knew that the Antichrist that would be 10 times more wicked than Nero was going to come. And they were hoping that Jesus would come in their lifetime. So they were also expecting the Antichrist to come. Are you understanding my point? That's why Nero could not stop them. I don't know if Nero can stop the Christians now. Nero was a Roman emperor. He was a very vile man. Wicked man. And he killed the Christians for fun. The Roman Empire was just, I don't even know how. Can you imagine if the government of Nigeria now insists that they will use all the resources and apparatus of government to kill every Christian in Nigeria? You know, it's not even possible within the context of Nigeria. But you can imagine then it was possible. He did it. He used the power, and he was not just the ruler of a country, he was the ruler of the known world. And he couldn't crush the church. He couldn't crush the church. He said, until we all come to maturity. This will happen. This will continue. So what is the church? The church is building us up to be men. The church is building us up to be people of character. Amen?
Amen.
If some people go to heaven, they will spoil heaven. Because they will carry that their bad behavior to heaven. And so God will make sure. If you read the book of Revelation, it says that all the liars, all the thieves, all the adulterers, all the fornicators, where were they? They were, if you take away that even from the earth will become like heaven now. They were in the lake of fire. So look at yourself. If you get to heaven, will you spoil heaven? Because what God is doing in you through the church, see me, I'm here. I've been preaching for over 1 hour. Bro, Yemi has done his own. I'm doing my own now. Standing here. Because we are trying to build, we are doing our job in building God's people to become like Christ. Please, let me tell you something. We are saved by grace. Grace helps us to live a holy life. It teaches us and gives us the wisdom to live. Any grace that cannot transform your character is a fake grace. So if you are calling grace, 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 grace. Now, I would teach one day about the parable of the 10 virgins. Because from the parable of the 10 virgins, I will show you that thing that some people erroneously call purgatory. And how that it is not everybody. Are you with me? Not just the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents. How that it is not every Christian that will be part of the millennial reign of Christ. It is not everybody that experiences the resurrection. Because it's after the resurrection that there will be the judgment seat of Christ. And remember that during that judgment seat of Christ, some will be saved as though by fire. He said, some will suffer loss. It's not the fact that you are raptured does not mean you will partake in the millennial reign of Christ. Because that is when they will evaluate your work. And all of that is going to be an evaluation of the potency of your love for God. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, let he that does not love the Lord be accursed. Come, Lord Jesus. You know why Paul said that kind of strong words? Because he knew that it is those kind of Christians that are slowing down the coming of the Lord Jesus. You are a Christian, you are in the church. If there's any comfort of the Spirit, boils of love, you know the love of the Lord Jesus and you don't love God, may God have mercy on you. Amen. How do you demonstrate that you love God? You will obey Him. Jesus Christ said that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. What is the thing that the Lord has told you to do? Are you doing it? At least we know the ones that He says we should do from the Bible. And the ones He says we should not do. Are we doing it? Are you preaching the gospel? You think you can survive as a Christian without preaching the gospel? You lie. Amen? Say, me, I'm shy. But if they bring Tienshi, what's the new one they are marketing? Forever Living Product. And say, when you bring two people, you will get 500,000. You will no longer be shy. And you do not realize that even though you are in the church speaking in tongues, you love mammon, you don't love God. The same people that will say, I'm shy, I cannot preach to my neighbors. I can't preach, I'm shy. When they join Forever Living Product, shyness flies out the window. All of them have the courage to be doing seminar up and down. And say, come and do this one. When they join H2I, they are very good in marketing. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, I'm shy. And you do not realize that you don't love God. And then you now open your mouth and say, all things work together for good to them that love God. That scripture does not apply to you. It only applies to them that love God. Because what God is doing in the church, and you see, this is not to attack you and make you feel insufficient. No, it will help you see the imperfection in you so that you can bring it before God and say, Father, I heard Pastor Abraham preaching the other day and I realized that I don't love you. But I want to love you. Heal me of this imperfection. And you know what God will do? He will heal you. The divine nature that is the nature of love will overshadow you. And then you will now discover that the love of God compels you. The love of God will make you to preach even in places where normal you will not preach. Amen? Amen. You will preach in a bus when you know yourself that you will never preach in a bus. Amen? Because the love of God will what? To compel you. May we love God in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to build us up into the nature of Christ. And the hallmark of the divine nature is love. The purpose of the church is to clean us up. You came here, if you were here last week, we hammered a lot on integrity. And there are many Christians that still lie. In fact, for many years while I was a Christian, I was a practicing liar. I lied. And there are some of you here, you still lie. May the Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I said that prophetically. Repent. Repent. Because the reason why you are in church is so that God will clean up your character. Resurrection cannot clean up your character. If the Holy Spirit cannot clean up, it's not a change of body that will clean up your character. And if after you are resurrected, and it is demonstrated that because of your faith in Christ Jesus and you abide in Christ, but your character has not been cleaned up, you will be saved as through fire. You know what fire does? Fire purifies. I don't know what will happen in that through fire salvation experience. I don't know what will happen in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I can assure you, you don't want to go through that. How many of you have ever had a carryover? I'm not asking you. Don't raise up your hand. If you've ever had a carryover before, you will know that it is better to pass the exam normally than to pass it through carryover. Right? It's better. So the purpose of the church is to clean you up. It is to what? To clean you up. Me, as I'm talking to you, Jesus is still cleaning me up every day. Sometimes I just notice that there is pride in my heart. I say, Father, after all these years, well, you know what I do? I come to the Lord, I say, please, clean me of this pride. I know I cannot go far with you. The Bible says God resists the proud. You want God to be the one resisting you? You know, there are some people that say the devil is hindering them. He's hindering their prayers. Prince of Persia. He's not prince, he's the God that is resisting them because they are proud. Because the Bible says God resists the proud. And he gives grace to them. You see, one reason why God will resist your prayers if you're a proud man is because if he answers your prayers, those answers will only help you to become more proud. And the prouder you are, the more you are like the devil. You know, one of the things that turned that angel, Lucifer, into Satan was pride. And God loves you too much. So whenever he sees pride in you, he's the one that will resist you until you realize that there is something wrong and you repent of your pride. May we repent of our pride in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Let's have your question before we close. Do you remember your question?
Yes, I wanted to ask. You said even though the Holy Spirit can't clean up your character, like someone being pride or lying, even though when you are being dead in the water, that you can't wash it away.
So let me clarify what I said. That thing is distracting me. Just scale the volume. If the Holy Ghost cannot clean up your character, it's not resurrection that will clean up your character. Are you understanding my point? Because the Holy Ghost is using time. He has time. You see, it was the wisdom of God that he allowed you to be a Christian within. You have time with God. And the purpose is that through time, you cannot become a doctor in a day. Time allows for training. And one of the things that the Holy Ghost does to us is that he trains us. Jesus Christ said he will guide you into all truth. So if the Holy Ghost cannot clean up your character, it's not resurrection that will change it. Because this character that you have, this mind, the only thing that will change during resurrection is your body. Although that is going to open you up to a lot of things, because this body is a serious limitation. Are you getting my point? If the Holy Ghost cannot clean, but your character, the state of your heart, that's what the Holy Spirit is working on right now. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So you need to cooperate with him to clean up your character now. Because if you don't cooperate with him, after this time has gone, there is no more time for that. That dispensation of screening is gone. Remember, this is a screening process. May we pass the screening in Jesus' name.
Amen.